Hello, everyone. We are back, and we are looking at what I'm calling right now for pretty much every Oscar that it's up for. Few it won't, but whatever. But before we get into that, his name is Clarkson.
Hi.
My name is Jim. And together, we are the Film Thugs. Welcome aboard. Okay. I don't know what just happened. Son of a bitch. Hold on. Try it again. Okay, well, we will...
just take my word for it.
Yeah.
Bird said something.
It is fucking barbaric. Welcome aboard, and man, so I gotta say, I like this, being able to take a break between watching and talking about. We rewatched Oppenheimer last night, and let me just say, it does not hold up.
Oh?
It's just garbage on a second view. It's terrible. Fucking awful. It's so pretentious and awful on the second viewing. Just does not hold up a slightly. No part of it holds up.
Got it.
Honestly, I could not have been happier with this film.
Yeah.
It was such a beautiful return to form after I didn't really care for Tenet. There's just a lot of issues there. I think it really landed hard and it really landed well, and it hit what the fucking points of that man's story really are.
Yes. Yes, it did. It there's something about the union of really, really big budgets, and incredibly talented people.
Yeah.
It's obvious,
yes. Right?
But when it happens,
it just holy
even if
crap.
Something like you're not particularly interested in, that's like the mark of a really good.
Yeah,
it's like good. A good interviewer makes anyone you wouldn't want to listen to necessarily interested.
Well, it was like watching that documentary, Senna. I don't give a shit about Formula One. I know nothing about motorsports, but I was fucking in it the whole way. And it's just folded out in such an interesting manner on a man that was just, God, bringing in the politics and all of that shit of fucking hell, just across the board.
This... I mean, not a moonshot
yet,
but that's essentially what's going on here.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so funny to, not funny, it's interesting to see the different perspectives of everyone in there other than one character, really.
Uh-huh.
And they're all right.
Yes.
Right? We're doing this in the war.
Uh-huh.
Because we don't have enough men to have... 200 Normandies.
Right.
Which essentially would have been the case if they had a land invasion of that country.
Yeah.
Or this could kill the world. We shouldn't do it at all.
Right.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
We should have 200 Normandies rather than this.
Yes.
Yes.
But also then what kills is when they bring out the facts of what we knew about Japan. It's like, oh, you mean the... country covered with hungry old men and women that we'll be able to overrun pretty fucking instantly.
Yeah.
We have softened them up so much that this isn't going to be a like they would have fought so long that it would have been irritating, but it would
I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think it would have been this months long bloodbath that they were promising.
I mean, that I think was one element of the bigger issue of Russia.
Yeah.
That's why it's so smart how they do, like, we're still allies, but...
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, this is not the last shot of World War II. It's the first shot of the Cold War.
And right, yeah. And just, that's very important.
God damn, if fucking Russia, man, just had Stalin not been in charge, just the fucking difference it would have been if... Stalin had just fucking died when he was young.
would have saved a lot of lives.
It really would have, man. It really would have. And the fact that, like, we were just sitting there, we got to show these motherfuckers up and show that we've got, like, but also, what would happen if they would have started with a hydrogen bomb?
Yeah.
Instead of the atom bomb, like what the fuck? If we had dropped one of those,
that's what makes this story so heavy. Is the weight of this terrible invention?
Yeah. Yep.
and the reasons that we had to in our minds, in the minds of the country at the time.
Right.
The people in charge.
Yeah, yeah.
That they felt that is like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
What do we do?
Yeah. And how weirdly abstract folks were able to make it. Because it's like what I kept thinking when, you know, watching it with you know, Truman and even the guy cross-examined, when did you get this moral compunction? Like,
yeah.
Have you ever seen one in person go off?
Yes.
Like, I have.
Right.
I've seen it and then seen it go away and know, fuck. And, you know, it's a real different feeling thinking my invention could be used for this and knowing it just was.
Yes.
Like, fuck, that is.
Yeah.
And it's.
What was my moral comprehension of something the world has never seen at the time?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because it is just more than anything, I think Oppenheimer's whole point was just, I want somebody to fucking acknowledge it. Yeah, goddamn acknowledge how fucking incredible this power is.
Yes.
Because it is so weird that, you know, it did. It started out as, oh, a great way for limitless energy, and it should have been.
Yeah.
But instead, we stunk trillions into weaponry and nothing into. Imagine if we had spent a fucking tenth of that nuclear budget on nuclear power.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Don't get me started.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, those. Well, I mean, that's when something is this good, it leads you to start thinking about things.
Yes.
Beyond just the movie itself. And
what
all of this money.
Yeah.
For this thing.
Yep.
And it's just this terrible goddamn sword.
Yep.
That humanity just have put this sword of Damocles over our heads forevermore.
Yeah. Yep.
Still there.
Yep.
Still waiting. That's what's so goddamn terrifying.
Yep.
So when I read negative reviews of Oppenheimer saying they kept repeating their themes, I'm like, motherfucker. Yes.
Oh, you didn't grow up in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
Because holy shit, it's weird because for all of the like duck and cover from our parents' childhood, we lived in a time where it's like, well, no, it's not going to happen. But if it does, just you're fucked.
Oh, yeah. By the time we came around to that, it was just so baked into the public consciousness. Mm-hmm. It was like, well, if it happens, it's going to happen.
Yeah. How many times over is the world going to be destroyed?
At this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Duck and cover when there's one bomb here and another bomb over there.
Yeah.
We're way fucking beyond that now. Like, you're just,
I didn't see, because I was in Panama, but the day after.
Yes.
Did you watch it when it was on?
The day after. Yes.
It was just the day after.
Yes.
Yes. Apparently that just fucked people up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it was like, no, this is realistically what it would be.
Right.
You'd be out like trying to find water that wouldn't kill you, but you wouldn't know it wouldn't kill you. And,
right.
It's a,
what's that fucking movie with Jane Fonda that fucked up nuclear power?
Oh, the
power?
China Syndrome?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for that.
It's like, yes, you are correct. We need to have every caution and safeguard imaginable on this shit. Because if we do, it's fucking magic.
Yeah.
It really, really is.
We really got to get on that.
Yeah. And yes, Chernobyl was a massive issue. How many issues have we had since then? Oh, one, Fukushima, because of a fucking tsunami. Like, there's a show on...
Tsunami.
Yeah, Tsunami. There's a show on Netflix called The Days, and it is the few days after the tsunami hit, and just how, okay, here's how close Japan came to being uninhabitable.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we may have to evacuate Tokyo.
I do.
That's a sentence that doesn't make sense.
No.
That's like, fucking what? But it is like the water was such a mess. You know, those giant fuel.
Yeah, yeah.
Just seeing those get lifted up and pushed along.
That's
fucking
ridiculous.
Nature's
so goddamn terrifying.
Growing up in San Antonio, I think, gave me more of a respect for that kind of shit just because... Buddy of mine from work was like, from back at Dell, was like, it's a third world country. The roads are always, but like, no. We're in an area that is mostly dry creek beds.
Yes.
you cannot go a certain distance in most directions without crossing one in San Antonio.
Mm. Yes.
And there are ones that will be dry for 50 years. And then one night, brother,
they
ain't dry no more.
Yeah.
And I still remember my greatest thing of disrespecting nature that's always stuck with me is there was this very well-known in San Antonio rescue of one of them Jags who went into the water crossing and his car was getting washed away. And this dude, like, hands his kid out. They have, like, the fucking ladder arm. Hands his kid out, disappears back into the car, pops up, hands the guy his day planner, and then gets rescued. You should be able to refuse rescuing him at that point. Now, we got the day planner, thanks. Then fucking ho, 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 foot right on his face, push him down. Another firefighter runs out with a 4x4. Not a 2x4, a 4x4. Starts papping him right in the face with it.
Fence post right in the mush.
Exactly. I love it. But that, to me, is the vibe that I get for the people that were like, oh, yeah, we're going to drop this bomb. We're going to remember, like,
oh, yeah.
Dude, you need to realize, fuck.
Yeah.
People are pissed off about Pearl Harbor. I understand that, but Hiroshima Elementary School didn't have anything to do with that.
No. And God knows I'd never bother trying to justify any of that.
Yeah.
I shake for the people that had to. And they probably had to Jedi mind trick themselves into that.
Yeah.
You know, the obfuscation and dealing that people had to do with themselves.
Yep. And, well, I love that Oppenheimer and the other scientists, no, we're going to sit here and see what the effects were.
Yeah.
Just like, fucking what happened? Fucking stripes burned. Oh, Jesus.
It's the birth of a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
That theme will be repeated
everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. This is literally, I mean, that ending moment, you know, when we thought we might end the world, I think we may have. Like, yeah.
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 When he comes in there and Oppenheimer, at the end of the war, he has that little, you know, rah-rah pep rally thing.
Yeah.
That, I remember thinking at the time, oh, we're going to have a moment where the sound dies out and we're just lost in his eyes and the, you know, something terrible. No. I get why Nolan did that because it's a lot more impactful.
Yep.
You're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the...
And that the stomping of the feet...
It's always there.
Always there. Oh, it's just fucking...
So good.
So good.
It really, really nailed
it. And I've been singing his praises for a while, but fucking Cillian, dude.
Cillian Murphy fucking just tore the cover off.
To play a guy that's not an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He's not some wildly troubled emotional person.
Yeah.
How to play that realistically yet have enough of that energy when it matters.
Yeah. Because the most famous footage of Oppenheimer, I've never seen a man look more fucking dead.
Yeah. He nails that.
Yep.
So many times over and over again.
Yeah.
You see his portrayal of Oppenheimer where he's staring off.
Yeah. Yep.
And he's just he can do the calculations of anything except these people.
Yeah. Yep.
And himself.
Understand all of this shit.
Right.
But how in the... Because there is no equation.
Right. Exactly.
For the human spirit.
No. Just...
And to be driven for something that you don't want to exist, but know you have to create.
Right.
And just the whole time of knowing, fuck, we are never going to be able to undo this, but we have to be the first to do it.
Yeah.
And that the VX rocket bit with that part, we're just flying back and just, holy shit.
Holy shit.
Oh my God, if they could put even a small one on that.
Yeah. I mean, I could understand criticism of this for not showing more of the effects.
Yeah, yes.
But then I'm of two minds with that. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I think that matters.
Yes.
And I think that's important to show.
Uh-huh.
I also understand why he didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not the story of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Necessarily.
It's the story of what is the toll
yeah.
of this and what
for,
like,
you know, what does a shooter feel essentially?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If and, you happen to invent the first gun.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of shit.
Yeah. And the, even when Truman, which
oh, perfect.
Fucking great moment, you didn't drop the fucking bomb. I did.
Well. Yeah.
Yeah. And that was when, like, the guy was punted. Well, oh, so you chose to drop the bomb there. Like, I didn't drop the bomb anywhere.
Exactly.
I just built the fucking thing.
Exactly.
That was it.
And I really enjoyed that we start this picture with him on the back foot.
Yeah. Yes. Know,
and showing what happens. The true gift of actual genius.
Yeah.
Terrible or not.
Yep.
Is... bureaucrats
mm-hmm.
asking you 1,000 questions in yeah. a not trial.
Yeah. And it just in a little room somewhere. And that's why it was so beautiful that it was like, oh yeah, yours is just on a larger stage.
Yeah.
Yours just happened on a larger stage. Cause exactly. damn, that guy genuinely, what was his name? Was Downey Jr. was,
oh, the fucking, the senator.
Yeah. No, Admiral.
Yeah. I can't remember
whatever, but yeah. His fucking, he is Ellsworth.
Oh yeah. He wasn't a senator. He was an admiral.
Yeah.
Sorry.
He was Ellsworth.
Yes.
Cause that, just that he made me look bad. He blacklisted me. He's like, no dude, the scientific community's job is to say no, push back and question.
Yeah.
That's the entire purpose of it.
Yeah.
So I love when fucking Matt Damon, when Leslie Groves, like, you don't say no to me. It's my job to say no to you.
Exactly.
Like, yep, it is. That's why I'm fucking here.
Yeah.
Build him a town quickly.
Hey, let's talk about the casting of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have anybody in that role, or yeah. could you?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. That's. Yeah. Someone probably said, wait, this guy. I want Matt Damon.
Yeah, we want Matt. Because if you look at it, it's like, well, we've got this small part of a guy who barely speaks, but then comes in and testifies. Let's get an Oscar winner in that. We have another role for a guy who's just, he literally has just one quick scene. Can we get another Oscar winner? Okay, yeah, cool.
Exactly.
We got another guy. Genuinely has one scene. He's a real asshole. Yeah, we'll get Casey. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you are at that stage,
yeah.
you're able to do it. Because right now, it's Nolan won Director's Guild mm-hmm. on top of everything yeah. else, which to me means Nolan's winning the Oscar.
I would think.
This is, I am genuinely like, what the fuck is this movie? And holy crap, how did he make this?
Yes. It's... the scope is one thing.
Yeah.
And you could probably ride pretty easily on just the magnitude of everything, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like any good storyteller, he's not relying on shit you already know.
Yeah.
You have to build that out.
Yep.
And the slow pieces and slow parts of an equation
yeah.
before it fills up the chalkboard at the end mm-hmm. of... this is terrible. So, like, they plot. What was that guy? Ugh. The other scientist. What's his face from 30 Days a Night? Help me out here. God damn. What is your name, dude?
Hold on. Let's find this here.
Josh Hartnett.
Hartnett. God, Hartnett was great.
And I told you this when we were watching it.
Uh-huh.
Like, I need someone from this time period plucked out of the timeline and yeah. put into this.
And that was Hartnett.
Fucking nailed it.
Nailed it.
Who signed up for Josh Hartnett nailing something that hard?
Yeah. Yeah. So on point.
Perfect.
Goddamn, hitting it.
Yeah. Again, in his perspective, he was right.
Yeah, he was.
But,
And what I love is if you think about the movie is entirely about chain reactions.
Yes.
Which, if you look at it, they were having a conversation that wasn't about you, Admiral Strauss.
Right. That's it.
That caused you to have it out for Oppenheimer, which caused you to undermine Oppenheimer, which caused you to lose a cabinet position. And once you've lost it, have it go full circle to end it. Maybe they weren't talking about you.
Exactly.
Maybe the famously weird and eccentric genius walking past you, not saying hello back, isn't mad about something they were just told. Maybe that's an eccentric genius.
Yes.
Who's known for being kind of strange.
Yeah.
Thus the
might be lost in thought part, you know, yeah, thinking you know, about all those genius things
that we don't know or ever think about, because why would we?
No. The terrible weight of that.
Yeah.
Even if not, you know, being utilized to make a world-killing weapon.
Yeah. I just know this.
That's just...
Yeah.
I can't wrap my head around it. But Cillian's portrayal of someone like that is...
Yep.
It's up there with... No, it's not up there. It blows the shit out of Russell Crowe's...
Oh, John Nash?
Yeah. Yes. Just, which she did a good job. I'm not shitting on it. But I'm looking at two characters that were so smart, they're lost in their own mind.
Right.
And that somehow, because they're so over-leveled on one thing, they don't have the emotional IQ or the political IQ to navigate those waters. But obviously Nash was brought on by disease, so it's a different animal.
Yes, but that's true.
Just... You have to look spaced out, but you're not spaced out.
Right.
So I can almost hear your direction of, I guarantee you Cillian had something he was actually thinking about.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? He wasn't just act like you're thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can, I guarantee goddamn it. I don't know what Christopher Nolan said.
Right. There's more at stake.
Yeah. Yes. The brilliant piece of direction he gave to Gary Oldman.
And I saw the video of that.
Yeah.
Of him talking about
more,
that.
Just, more is at stake.
More is at stake. Okay.
That's it.
Well, and what I love with Murphy, I think you're right, because it does. He is a man who is actively wrestling with a problem the whole time. And there's a weird distraction in their everyday interactions that's there. And I know this because, I don't know if you remember this, but I used to be somewhat anxious.
Yes.
And how often was I that?
Yeah, sure.
Where, I'm like 90% here.
Yeah.
But you can tell that 10% is fucking locked in, madly obsessed on something else.
Of course.
And that's what you see with him. But with him, it is all different stages of, what the fuck have I done?
Like, yeah, how am I need to do this. How am I going to do it?
Yeah.
I know it can be done. I did it. Now I'm haunted by it.
Yeah.
Fuck. And frustrated.
Yeah.
And villainized. And yes. It's just, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot to make something that subject matter that heavy, that disparate in its places it goes as far as like the politics of it.
Right.
The logistics of it with your family.
Yeah.
Having a family at all.
Yes.
All of that.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's just like,
how?
How are you going to tie all these things together? And he does.
Yep.
Nails the shit out of it as an actor and as a director and writer.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what's so weird is when you have a story that is this dense.
Yes, thank you.
And you have to hack away and find a storyline in it. And I think that concept of, you know, following that chain reaction, the direct moment that led to this weirdly paranoid man.
Yeah.
Destroying himself.
Yeah.
While also destroying one of the most important, like, how in the fuck is the Marconi Award not called the Oppenheimer?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. It's because of the whole communist thing.
Oh,
yeah.
There you go.
That's why I left 15 years. 16, I mean. 17.
17.
Oh, I'm sorry. 18. 18.
Yeah.
18 years ago.
Yeah.
Did you have a membership card? what the fuck are we talking about here?
Yeah.
What in the shit are we talking about here, Mr. Kennedy?
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Yeah. Terrifying. I also enjoyed that by the time we got done with the movie, you have the straight up Nolan blind spots.
Yep.
Used perfectly. Obviously not as like, ha-ha! You know, it wasn't quite the Prestige, right?
Right, right.
But, you fucking...
You did this.
You did that.
You did that to me, didn't you? You fucking pulled
you
this
fucking
off.
Prick. You fucking prick. I wasn't, you know.
My peaches!
Yeah, I wasn't thinking that you were even going to use that.
Yeah, and then when it hit, it was like, what?
Oh.
Yeah, why would they suddenly?
Yeah.
have this problem.
Fuck you, prick. Speaking of negative reviews.
Yes, bring some negative reviews. Let's hit right. Yeah. Negative review views. Reaction.
Boring, yeah. Hyphen. Struggle to stay awake, hyphen. Very little action and just dragged out a story which already well known after the Netflix series. Total waste of money. Netflix series?
I have no idea what Netflix series is talking about. But what? Anytime someone watches a movie like this, it's like, oh, it's so boring. Like, you should have gone to something else. A 3-hour long movie.
Not enough action.
Not enough action. Like, it's straight up a movie about a science man.
Yeah.
What action did you
science
want?
Science man do math.
Oh, and let's be honest. So far as science man goes, plenty of fucking action in this movie.
Oh, yes. Yeah. If you want science action.
Yeah. Do you want to see fucking Florence Pugh naked a lot? She is naked a lot in this movie.
Yeah. That's the science I'm after. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
I know what you are saying.
All right. Boobs. Here we have another one. I hesitated even giving this film a try because I had a feeling it would be another superficial, artless, heartless, over-the-top, big-budget Hollywood spectacle from an ego-driven, overrated director. Period. I should have trusted my accurate instincts. Nolan really, all caps, needs to learn to edit, edit, edit. Too much, fast, cheesy dialogue. Random characters whom contribute little to the story. Frenetic time jumps and grating misplaced soundtrack music. Reminded me a lot of the other Best Picture contender, which I strongly disliked, Maestro, for exhibiting all the same faults. Imagine if this much money went into a more artful film. Hot takes, baked fresh for you. Yeah, what did this motherfucker watch?
That's one of those things I just... Okay.
I don't know where to start with that. Okay. That is up there with think of it as an anti-violence piece.
Yeah, it's
anti-gun violence piece, excuse me.
Artless.
Artless.
What the fuck are you on about?
I don't understand that.
What the fuck are you even?
Did they do that weird ass studio that makes knockoff movies? Did you watch that?
Yeah.
Lopenheimer.
Robinheimer.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Oppie and the Bomb.
This wasn't about IRAs at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, next. Oh, dear, where do I start? I gave up halfway through the movie because I was falling asleep every 10 minutes. On endless dialogue between a multitude of characters who were neither properly introduced nor developed in any way, interrupted by constant flashbacks, recurring completely out of CGI cutscenes, which I interpret as dreams of Oppenheimer, and which hint at a physical background in an absolutely ridiculous way, such as trembling strings or flying particles. Nothing exciting happens, apart from the constant chatter and endless discussions. The whole thing is paired with a pretty good pinch of American patriotism and whitewashing and justification of the past. The whole movie wants to suggest a significance and grandeur that it simply doesn't have. I'm not misreading. All the reviews have 5 are clearly bought, in my opinion. And call this one of the best movies of all time is, to me, more testament to the dumbing down of our society. You know, with that last sentence, you got one particular kind of motherfucker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But here's what really strikes me with that review is how bad it is.
Yes.
Yeah, it's all that I can. The only line that was missing is, would somebody throw a pie already? It just, yeah, the dialogue. I'm sorry, this had some of the more interesting dialogue that my husband died to prevent one fascist bullet from embedding itself in a mud hill.
Yeah.
When you fucking break down to all of it, this is what, like, and I can't really say shit to you.
No.
It's like, have you seen King of Staten Island?
No.
Have you seen the baseball park scene? Where
I haven't seen it.
Okay. I got to find this because this sums up that lady's point where basically he's at a baseball game with a group of other firefighters. Mm. So Pete Davidson, this character, is based on himself. His dad, in case you don't know this, was a firefighter who died on 9/11.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's raised like a bunch of money for firefighters and stuff. But his character has the same thing in this movie where this, and this is what that line from that woman feels like to me. And let me see here.
Little League team could give these guys a run.
Call me a senior. These guys are all on the job. I'm just fucking. Hey, you want a hot dog?
Oh, no, I can't.
John Moxley?
No, hold on. I got to get to.
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't.
It's for you, Owen.
She died in space.
Ah, here we go. All right, ba-boom.
Hey, do you ever think about putting on the jacket? What are you laughing about?
This is a stupid question, right?
What do you mean stupid?
It's fucking stupid. Would you ask the kids of that teacher who blew up in space if they want to be an astronaut?
Whoa.
I don't think that lady had any kids.
Yeah, I'm sure she didn't, because she died in space. It's hard to have kids when you're dead in space.
Look, I could tell you how I feel about farming, but I don't think you guys want to hear my opinion.
No, please, tell us. No, I want to hear.
You don't got to do this, man. Come on.
No. Yeah. Okay, how about this? If you're a fireman, just don't have kids or a family at all, okay? So that way you don't fucking crush them when you don't come home that one time, you know? And you're just so selfish. You just hang out with your boys all day like it's a fucking frat house. Half the time you're not even putting out fires. You're just jerking off watching Scarface. Okay?
All right, take it easy, man.
No, I'm just saying. And it's wrong to tell a kid that you're going to be there for his whole entire life. Yeah, you miss graduation, your birthdays, okay? My prom dances. It's a very mean thing to do to children. And if you have a family, you're an asshole.
Take it easy.
One way to look at it.
Yeah.
Tell that to my dad. Oh, but you can't. Because he's dead. Anybody got a good response to that?
And it is just like, that is that line, like, what the fuck do I say back to this? Yes, you are right.
I just wanted
to, I understand your war feelings,
announce to you, Nabla, that Johnny C4077 has a more concise way of putting his feelings.
Okay.
Very boring movie. The narrative of the movie is pretty horrible. It jumps around in time so much, it's unwatchable.
I've always been curious about people who can't handle nonlinear storytelling. It reminds me of...
I think they can't handle a lot.
Eating dinner once with Erica, the ex's family, and her father saying Pulp Fiction would have been a great movie if it had just been told in order. Okay. And I'm like, Pulp Fiction would have been boring as dog shit if it had been told in order, because that movie then would have ended with Bruce Willis riding away on a motorcycle.
Yes.
That's how that movie ends. That's not where it needs to end.
No.
Like, you tell a story in the order it needs to be told in to be interesting.
Yes.
And this, splitting these storylines, letting that mystery embed. I mean, the fact that you didn't even know there was a mystery of who is doing this.
Exactly.
It's like the first time that you see The Usual Suspects.
Exactly.
Wait, who the fuck is Kaiser Soze?
Yeah.
The fuck is going on here?
Right.
Yeah.
You're not... It's the proper use of a blind spot.
Mm-hmm. And then, boom!
Yeah, it's probably one of the greatest examples of that.
Yeah.
You know, kind of the one trick of that guy, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not true.
Apt pupil.
Thank you. So, two.
But, man, just the... Because the historic...
I wasn't looking for that in this film at all. I was actually preparing myself, like I said earlier, to not have any of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's going to do a very straight narrative thing.
Yeah.
Nope.
No, we went interesting.
Of course it's going to work. Of course that's what happened.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yes. Like, and the performances across the board, the way it's... Downey Jr.
Oof.
Just that ease.
And the casting of Robert Downey Jr. as that character.
Yes.
Helps to... keep you further blind.
Yeah, because...
Like, you're not going to...
You're Downey Jr. You're everybody's big brother.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Man.
That was a beautiful heel turn.
Fucking guy...
Yeah.
...knows how to deliver when it counts.
He really does. This is his Oscar. Yeah. This is Downey's Oscar. Because let's be honest, is there anybody that Hollywood wants to give an Oscar more than Downey Jr. Exactly. at this stage?
I mean, he's made enough money for you people,
and,
right?
And who's going to be upset at Robert Downey Jr. Nobody. Being an Oscar winner? Like, fucking nobody's going to be upset seeing Downey Jr. walking around with an Oscar. Yeah. Everybody wants to see that.
Yes.
The only thing I want to see more is the only award I don't want this to win is special effects, because they were fine, but Godzilla Minus One.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking $10 million.
That, no.
What
I don't,
ass did y'all
I
do?
Think even Nolan would be like, no.
Yeah, that goes
no, no,
here.
They, no.
But if he does, I think he's going to win for writing and directing and producing. I think this wins Best Picture, too. I think he gets the three.
Yeah, probably.
But writing, he may not, because who knows what the fuck else and what the
opinions are.
Well, no,
but that's why I sort of mentioned the stuff that could have been portrayed in the film.
Right.
Like, I can see people putting that on the scale and saying,
yeah,
not that. Not we're not quite at the level of whitewashing history as whomever the fuck said whatever.
Right.
These reviews, I don't understand that.
Yeah, because I love there were moments that were great that did highlight some of the progressive shit that they did. Where it's like, what do you don't know how to file? Well, no, they didn't teach that at the fucking graduate chemistry program at Cambridge. Like, put her on the chemistry. Put her on this team. No,
right.
She's here.
Yeah,
she's part of this closed loop.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but come on. You're living on this base. You should... Yeah, that's Clarence.
Yes, yes, yes.
And Emily Blunt.
Oh, dude.
Dude. Dude, that no shaking of the hand. And the way that actor delivered the...
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's where we are.
Yep.
Yeah, she really crushed it.
Yep. It. Oh.
Everybody does.
They really... Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, from... He didn't need Casey Affleck for that.
No, they didn't.
But...
He really fucking landed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Watch his face from Chappaquiddick.
Yes.
You never remember that actor's name.
Yeah, Colm Feury, I think, or something like that. Like, it's some very Canadian
He's fucking
shit.
Great.
Yeah. He's on point, yeah.
I can't imagine casting anyone else in that role.
Nope.
Like, no. You want this guy.
He has that motherfucker look.
He looks like a motherfucking Kennedy.
Yeah.
Put him in there.
Yeah, this guy's got that real asshole energy.
Yeah, just... Mm.
Yeah, make it so.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah.
But... Mm.
And is there ever a time that you are not happy to see Matthew Modine on screen?
No.
It's weird, isn't it? He's got that kind of like Anthony Michael Hall energy where you're like, oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes it hard during his like more heelish stuff in Stranger Things.
Yes.
You're like, oh, I don't want you to be a bad guy.
Come on, man. Yeah.
But he's not.
Right.
He is.
He's just one of those dudes. He shows up on screen and it's like, fuck yeah, Modine. Yeah. I wasn't even thinking about you, but now that you're here,
I'm glad you're
fucking
here.
Well, should
Vision
be
Quest
here, dude.
Having motherfucker.
Hell yeah.
Half the soundtrack on vinyl. Fuck you all.
Yep. Linda Fiorentino.
Oh, yeah.
My God. But that dude, everyone in it just hit it so well. I believe that the secretary, the guy that Matt Damon just hands his jet, have that dry cleaned. I think that guy was in Knives Out. The bathroom where the young Nazi boy was masturbating. Yeah, I think that's him.
Right.
I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't know.
I don't really care. But he was like, all of the little parts fit and moved. The table conversation with the centerpiece, where they kept moving it until finally someone just says, can we get this fucking thing off the, like.
Yes.
What the fuck took you so long with that, man? But I know what took him so long, because how many times have you been that guy?
Oh,
who finally is like, okay, God damn
I am
it,
that
can
guy.
We just stop this? Yeah,
right.
I do it very quickly.
Yes.
I'm like, no, we're good. Let's just make this easy for everyone, please.
But from a production standpoint.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, build them a town. They did.
Yep.
You know, it's, I can't. I can't imagine having to put all that together, make this thing, it's just a massive, massive project.
Yeah, and the way that they portrayed it with Leslie Groves, where it's like, yeah, I built the Pentagon and they liked it, so well, we're gonna need a lot of plutonium, 25 tons. Bought it the day after. I was like, holy shit, okay, dude. And I love that they did show him as that, like, my job is to make this happen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Show me that you need this to make this happen.
Yeah.
I get it for you.
Yeah.
We make this fucking happen.
Yes. And, you know, that sort of, well, obviously, would never, this project would never have gotten off the ground without that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And that's so much of sort of the, his nuanced character of, my order is to make this happen. I'm going to make it happen.
Yeah.
Yes, I feel terribly about certain things.
Yes, but.
But I'm not paid to feel
yeah.
my order. You know what I mean? Just, it was like, of course you had Matt Damon to do that.
Oh, yeah. I've also never felt the German in me quite as much as the moment when Leslie Groves hit the screen and I just went, fucking logistical genius.
Yes.
Because I did. And it's that yeah. is probably the most German thing. Like, his ability at his ability to organize multiple yeah. resources is amazing.
It's so therapeutic for me to witness. Exactly.
It's a weird fucking moment.
That brings me pleasure. Everything is lined up properly.
What I've noticed that I can no longer do a Werner Herzog because I immediately drift into Christoph Waltz. Because yeah. Christoph Waltz is... no matter what you are saying, it feels like you're giving someone the most wonderful news possible.
Yeah, he's like the positive Werner.
Yes. Oh, my God. He's the fucking anti-Werner.
Chaos does not reign. You see? Mm. It's okay. We're here in the store.
Perhaps chaos reigns, but that does not mean that you cannot dance in the rain.
Exactly.
My God,
he's the anti-Herzog.
He is the Austrian Herzog.
Oh,
because his description, the difference between German and Austrian is the difference between a waltz and a battleship.
as one German reviewer on a podcast I listened to said, much like every other person that gave Germany a bad name or got it in trouble, they were Austrian.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Vice versa. But yes.
But yeah, this is just one of those where performances across the board like changed my view of a lot yes. of actors in like very subtle ways of yeah. damn, yep. And main one was, the fuck does Gary Oldman look that much like Truman?
What's Gary Oldman? He has powers.
What's going on there? Is he like a Benny fucking what? Not the
Bene Gesserit?
No, the Benny Twalics. They were the ones that could change their faces and shit. Yeah, I mean, probably. Is he?
I mean,
I don't do it too much because I'm sorry, I still have the voice. I still had the voice chip installed.
Yeah,
Oldman is
perfect.
Damn.
Perfect portrayal.
I feel like I have blood on my hands.
Oh.
Just handing out the fucking...
Oh, my God.
You didn't do shit.
Yeah.
And just that's...
And Truman's fine.
Yeah. You didn't do shit. I did it. I did this.
Yeah. What you think about the terrible burden of your mind. Imagine the terrible burden of his mind.
Yeah.
If he has a soul at all.
Yeah, the level of compartmentalization that you have to have.
I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah, I can't either.
I keep doing that over and over again in this movie with everyone involved at any level.
Right.
I'm like...
What it sort of makes me feel like is back on the day on the Sarah Silverman program, Brian Posehn played this guy's metalhead friend of hers, and she stole
Brian was saying I need you to be a metalhead. All right,
she stole his iPod at one point and found that all he's ever listening to is the song Two Princes by
Spin Doctors.
Spin Doctors. He's like, you don't understand. I live so much metal all the time that I need a break from it with the least metal thing I could find. So I just imagine Truman just goes back into his fucking back room and plays just nothing but the Archies 45s.
Yeah. In silence.
And doesn't even drink alcohol, just has like a milkshake, a vanilla milkshake.
No, he drinks water out of a gin bottle.
Yes. Oh, God. Like it's a middle school play.
Exactly.
And then just doesn't even react like it's gin.
No.
That's my favorite shit from middle school or high school plays is kids who've never drank pretending to drink.
Absolutely.
It's like, oh boy, this vodka.
So delicious.
That really went down easy. That fucking really did.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be a hardened alcoholic to the point of having a different voice.
Yeah, you, what are you, Russian?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, no.
But yeah, the whole shit, I love the pointing out that, no, like, inner circle of Trinity, of Manhattan was hacked from day one.
Yeah.
Like, day fucking one. And it was, yeah, it might be a little, it might have sped them up a little bit, but Russia was going to fucking build one.
Absolutely.
They were going to build one, period. They might have taken a few, like, we gave them 10 years.
Yeah.
But, yes, that 10 years important. But it's only fucking 10 years.
Of course there's going to be a leak. Of course there's going to be a spy. Of course there's going to be a mole somewhere. Yes. Of course. Look at the fucking stakes.
Yep.
It's like Charlie Wilson's War.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Scotch has a bug in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the hands up are my favorite part from that. Hold up.
That's another example of getting this dream team cast.
Yeah, yeah.
And saying, go.
Go. Yep, yep. And it is dream team, because that is the, like, has there ever been an easier coaching job than the first coach of the dream team?
Exactly.
Like, that just, yeah. And as a director, I got to watch The Holdovers, because apparently it's great.
Yeah, I need to watch it.
But Howard Stern talking about working with Paul Giamatti on on Private Parts was great. He's like, I'm thinking this is easy. Like, making a movie is nothing.
No.
I didn't realize when you got that scene partner, yes,
yeah,
your job is going to be so much easier.
Be a breeze, kid.
Because you remember back being in theater, the being assigned that guy as your scene partner. It's like,
fucking death.
Oh, I gotta limber up.
Yeah. Death at first. Then as you
being in a play with them sucks.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But like in college, when you get assigned to do, like, you know, pair work or whatever,
mm-hmm,
then it becomes like a challenge.
Yeah.
Like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Let me bring my wrestling fan into this.
Yep.
How can I be Ric Flair and make this broom look like he has a good match?
And then when you get older, you realize, oh, it's because I was good.
Oh, well.
That they put me with. And then every once in a while, you did get to work with someone who was good.
Absolutely.
And then
it was, it's like, so much fun.
What the fuck?
It's so much fun. It's like, not that I'm so great, but at the time, I was better than the guy I was working with at the time. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And then the next one is, you know, I can't remember his name now, but I can see him.
It's like, yeah, let's do the scene and it's like, completely differently on this run through. Now let's try it this way. On, like, that's the beauty of it is you know that those are people who came to set like, well, all right, I've got ideas in these few different ways. Like, here's how this could go.
Right.
Let's see what we're feeling like when we rehearse it. Oh,
yeah, man. That's delicious.
Yeah, it really is. That's what I love most about this shit, is just seeing that coming together and full creation.
Yeah, because when you can find someone to play with, essentially what you're doing.
Yes.
That wants to play and can.
Yeah.
It's fucking great.
It really, really is.
It's great.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine working in this environment with this cast, like the table read.
Oh, God.
Fucking,
oh,
why isn't that filmed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, I think casts like that should. Table reads are a market just being left out in the rain.
Oh, hell yeah.
Put this shit on YouTube.
Hell yeah.
Something. But I would be fascinated. Maybe there is. Yeah. I don't fucking know.
Well, it's kind of like the two things that I would love. You know, table reads, unaired pilots.
Oh, yeah.
Literally just release all of the unpicked up whatever pilots.
Absolutely.
And if there was a way that each, and this is a big ask that they'll never do, but how amazing would it be if they were able to digitize and put for each, you know, studio that has its own streaming, whatever, has their shelf. And these are all of the movies that have been shelved for whatever reason over the years that you can finally now watch. There's like,
absolutely.
Yeah.
There's money there. Mm-hmm. Just sitting on it.
Yeah. I would sit and watch for hours if it was like, okay, they have the what? There was a,
exactly.
Holy shit. Okay, let's watch that.
Yeah. I do the same thing for every pilot that didn't get picked up.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Like, there was a little thing. There was an app on YouTube, not on YouTube, on Roku for a while that had those.
Oh, my God.
And there were like three or four. Hope and I actually still quote one. Wow. Where there was so these guys get fired because they are shutting down the auto plant. And it's going to become a microchip factory.
Okay.
A fancy microchip factory. So the bar that they're in is going to close down. So they decide, let's turn our usual bar that we hang out in into a fancy restaurant that folks that work down at the microchip factory would want to come to.
Oh, God.
And the only reason we quote it is because Annie Potts is in it.
Ah.
And she would always say, a fancy restaurant or at the microchip factory. So Hope and I quote those lines all the fucking time.
Right.
I would be all over that shit.
Yeah, yeah. That needs to happen.
All the weird things. And that's how I was finally able to watch the pilot episode of The Incredible Hulk, which was incredibly fucking boring.
Oh, my God. I can't imagine.
Oh, it's like it's not quite watching the pilot of Knight Rider because there's not as much. Who's that blonde guy?
Or the pilot episode of Wonder Woman, which is way better than it should be.
Oh, yeah. With the Adrian.
Yeah.
That.
Like.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. I'd love that shit that just never came out. Because there are so many movies throughout time that have been shelved we don't know about.
Yeah.
And how cool it would be to just be able to scroll through all of them and be like.
Yeah. Yes.
Thing never came. Okay. Boom. Let's watch this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, the fun these people must have had.
Oh, hell yeah. Because this was a playground.
All of these
incredibly
talented people with so much, so many years of experience under their belt.
Yeah.
I just can't imagine. It must have been like Buscemi when he did Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
You know, he was an actor for a bit, but.
Yeah, not that.
And not with these fucking guys. I get in there and, you know, mix it up with those.
I still remember seeing Memento
when
it was brand new in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It was that theater that no longer exists. Mm. Was it not Village? It was the movie theater that's now a what's it called? Cheesecake Factory.
Oh yes,
yeah, that one. I remember what it was called. The Arboretum.
Yeah, Arboretum.
Yeah, the Arboretum.
The Arbor over by Barnes and Noble, and then that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, the Arbor, and then the other one was Great Hills.
Yes.
Over there. So, yeah, at the Arbor Theater, and I remember just being like, this is fucking fascinating.
Yeah.
I was fascinated by the story for a long time before I saw it.
Sure.
It's so weird because the only other movie of Nolan's that I don't really care for, I don't really like Tenet.
I haven't seen it.
Interstellar's all right.
I loved that movie.
Okay, and the thing is, I think I need to watch it again. Mm-hmm. Because it's one that I was like, okay, this is strange, but I just need
to talk about heady fucking material.
Yes. Yeah, that's why I need to watch again. And I'm okay with Insomnia, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I used to own that back in my completest physical media days.
Yes.
Which need to come back.
Right.
There's a lot going on in that movie.
There is.
I honestly. That's one of those projects that I would like to see done again.
Yeah, yeah. What could he do with it now?
Yeah, because Pacino is fucking great.
Yeah.
And I think Robin Williams is okay in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it's pretty ugly.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. I think that could be, there's more there than we got is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Then I will never stop saying good things about The Prestige.
Oh, no.
Goddamn. Cool. Rushed
that's fucking great.
With that one. Then, of course, the Batmans.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Which, and the highest compliment I can pay, I read the script for Batman Begins 6 months before I saw it.
Mm.
I saw Batman Begins with Rhonda.
Mm-hmm.
I was still living with Erica when I read that script. So that's how much time passed. And the movie was fucking brilliant. I was in from the word go. He redefined Batman in film.
Yeah.
He.
I remember distinctly because I saw that on a sneak peek. My friend Jake got passes for an early screening of that.
Uh huh.
Over at Regal, whatever it is.
Yeah, the Gateway.
Gateway.
Yeah.
And thinking, how the fuck? It's so funny to think about this stupid ass question.
Yeah.
But at the time, I was like, I wonder how he's going to tackle that iconic theme of Batman.
Right? Yeah.
Two notes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. Hans Zimmer. Right?
Yep. I would just do this.
Yeah. Bum, bum. Initially. Obviously, it kicks into more after.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
Yep.
That two note shit wasn't just the Batman with something in the way.
Yeah. That shit, watching that first one, it was how.
Yeah, how are you going to do this?
How are you pulling this off right now?
Yeah,
it was like how I felt watching The Batman. how the fuck are you pulling this
off?
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
And then there's, I stand by it. There's only one mistake that Nolan never made that was made in the Batman. That is, don't show him riding the motorcycle in daylight.
Yeah, no.
In daylight, it's hilarious. It is a bunch of dead guys having a cookout on stage. Yeah, it's just, no.
Yeah, I think I know what they were. There's a scene, there's a shot of that where the sun is, dawn is just breaking.
Right.
Not even breaking.
Yeah.
The sky has turned a little mauve.
Right.
That's nice.
Yeah.
For that moment, because,
Then you've got that light that you only see where it's like, well, I got to find somewhere to eat around here.
Exactly.
That is the only time that you should be seeing that shade of morning.
That's like a Superman at a titty bar.
Yeah.
This is weird.
I got to do something. It just doesn't make sense.
I got to get a Danish around here.
It's Christopher Reeves, again, tobacco Superman. Fucking drinking at the bar. Yes.
Oh,
that's what that was. Yeah.
I love that scene.
The Superman 3 moment. That was so weird as a kid.
I love it now as an adult. But, let's explore this. That must be where all my, like, how far off can we get with this guy started? Like, whoa, look at that.
And what's fascinating to me, though, with this is if you had told me after just Memento, in 20 something years he's going to make a movie about Oppenheimer that's going to win him an Oscar, I'd be like, that trajectory doesn't sound strange.
No.
That tracks with the movie I just saw here.
Yeah, yeah.
As weird as that might kind of sound, but it's like that was a dude that right off the bat I was like, he's going to do interesting shit and I'm going to want to remember this guy.
Yeah. And, you know, if he somehow doesn't want to do, I know there's this bullshit clickbait on the internet about how Nolan wants to do a horror movie. Well, yeah, everyone, it also means he wants to produce one.
Yeah.
Or two. Maybe not direct one.
Yeah.
But if for whatever reason he feels like, I don't think I have anything heavier to say, I guess I'll just go ahead and direct some fucking Bond.
Yeah. That I think would be good. Yeah. Well, so apparently one of the Henry Cavill, I think, has already started working on Highlander.
Yes.
Which, hell yeah, I'm down with. Bond, goddamn, who are they going with next?
I don't know. I know Henry was in the conversation.
Yeah.
Which would be a very sort of Roger Moore move.
Yes, uh-huh.
You know? But who could actually pull off the action.
Right.
I don't know. I don't
know. A lot of people, like Hope, has been reading some folks online that are pushing for, who was the guy from Slumdog Millionaire, the Indian dude, Dev Patel?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, him as Bond, because it's like...
Fine, whatever.
Fitz is British, and he's in a new action-y thing that's like, oh, yeah, this motherfucker could have pulled it off.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
This guy could have pulled it off.
Yeah.
He, I don't hate, but I love the folks that tried to turn Daniel Craig's statement about a woman shouldn't play James Bond into something, because he literally was making the statement I've been making, where it's like, no, because it's going to be treated as an imitation.
Correct.
Make Modesty Blaze. Yes. I have been saying that for 2 decades now. Mm-hmm. Don't, like, just make a fucking good Modesty Blaze. There's so many of them. And Nolan, I want them to give him a Bond. I think that would be so fucking cool.
It would be cool.
My favorite thing would be, and they're not going to do this, but how dope would it be if he did one that was like straight up set in the 60s?
Oh, God. That would be awesome.
Period piece Bond film. I'd be there.
Absolutely.
I'd be there in the theater. Just
absolutely.
I'm interested.
That would be fucking great.
Yeah, it would.
It would be great.
Sometimes I got ideas that are okay.
Yeah, he needs to rag on the Beatles again.
Yep. The theme off. Old bitch. Smacking women. Ah, god damn.
Hating the Beatles. You're a prince.
Hate the Beatles and hitting women. Jesus Christ.
The Sean Connery story.
The Sean Connery story. That's it. Yeah. But no, Oppenheimer, I think the sort of end statement here is the praise is so well earned.
Yeah.
And the criticism I see, but a lot of it feels like, I'm just not into this.
Man. The only criticism that I see is what I've already mentioned.
Yeah.
I can see not having more footage of the aftermath, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's kind of it. Yeah. Now, that's a pretty big fucking matzo ball out there, George.
Yeah, yeah.
But
getting the reaction without actually seeing it.
Yeah, because everyone is so just.
Seeing it feels exploitive.
Yes.
It's just how it
feels. I'm just saying, I see how these assholes could think.
Yeah, and I can see where that thought could come from, but very quickly be dismissed because it's like, God, it just.
I hope so.
It is the, I wish we could have seen what was in the briefcase in Pulp Fiction or in Ronin or, no, it's not enough. Just let it be whatever the fuck was in it. You don't need to know.
Yeah. I don't need to see what happened when the train got to fucking Dachau, you know?
Yeah.
I know. It's not pleasant.
It's much like, what's it called? Did you know, I might have told you this, there is actually script, I don't know if it was shot, but that explains why the time loop is happening in Groundhog Day.
Oh, wow.
Wild guess. Just throw a wild guess at me.
Different dimension? I don't know.
Ex-girlfriend put a gypsy curse on him.
Oh! Of course!
What does that do to the movie?
Of course.
It fucks it up pretty bad, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
I did like a thing I saw on TikTok where someone said what they should do is reissue Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Say it's a remake and it's just Groundhog
Day. Yeah, or a sequel.
A sequel?
Yeah.
It's Groundhog Day.
Or actually, you're right. Remake is better. Release it on Groundhog Day. Boom. There.
That's great!
And now you could put on the poster starring Bill Murray, Andy McDowell, and Michael Shannon.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. He's goony as fuck in that movie. You're right. This tiny woman I just married regrets it.
That's another fucking dude just walking around with powers. I don't even think he knows.
Nope. Not at all. So good in shit. Boardwalk Empire fucking kills those dudes in the alley.
Hold on. I need somebody with that face. Michael Shannon? You... All right.
That face, yep. How he didn't get cast as Ben Grimm.
Just like what? Yeah. Just like that fucking guy from Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
And Chappaquiddick. Like, oh, yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Dude, we need to watch, you need to watch The Bear.
I know.
To the point that we almost need to make it part of the show. We're doing Killers of the Flower Moon next.
Oh.
But then we should dive somewhat into, we're just going to watch it next week.
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah. Yeah, 3-hour nightmare. Jesus.
Oh, that's the other thing about Oppenheimer. Yeah. I didn't feel one bit of that.
Exactly, yeah. Actually, from what I understand, Flower Moon is 3 hours and 40 minutes. So we might start a little earlier. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you the next time we see you. Have a good day. I love that little bit at the end. It's so sexy. Bye-bye.